Appreciate Jordan with the scripture reading that he did. James here in this passage in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, he describes a process of how sin develops. And I'd like to look this evening, if you would follow along with me, at one of the ways that we can find out what sin is and a couple of the ways that we can help ourselves to avoid sin. Basically, what it really boils down to in the end is, what are our desires? Do we desire those things that are godly, those things that are spiritual, or are those the things that we're seeking after? Or do we seek after what the world wants us to seek after? And I think that's the basis of what James here is trying to say. First thing we need to notice from our scripture reading in James 1, verses 12 through 15, the first thing we notice here is the repeated use of the words tempted or temptation. And we need to understand right off that God does not tempt us with evil. You see that in verse number 13. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And of course we know that God does test and tries. You see in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, if you flip over there, that God tested Abraham. Genesis 22 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am." So the story there where God had instructed him to go to the land of Moriah there and to sacrifice his son Isaac. We read there that God tested Abraham. He did not tempt Abraham with evil. There's a distinction between the two. We need to keep those two things separate as we go through this. We know that the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, if you'll flip over there. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. As the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were tried to prove what was in their hearts. It says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you." Also, if you'll flip over to Exodus 16 and verse 4. Exodus 16 and verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Also, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3. Simply point this out to draw the distinction between the two things here. Proverbs 17 and verse 3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." So we know that we may be tried or tested again for our own good. If you'll flip over to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So we know that God searches the heart, he tests the mind, but God will never tempt us with evil. Temptations that drive us to sin come from another place. They come from another source, if you will. Second thing we want to notice when we're talking about sin that develops from evil temptation are the things involved in temptation itself. Turn back to James chapter 1. Look there at James chapter 1 again in verse 14. It says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." So you see two parts here of temptation. You see desire and you see enticement. Some of your translations may render the word desire as lust instead of desire there. To be enticed or enticement simply means to be presented the opportunity to commit a sin. It means to bait, to decoy, to solicit. So sin, there has two parts, desire and enticement when you look at James 1 and verse 14. However, the fact that we are merely tempted doesn't mean that the temptation itself is a sin. We looked in our class last week at the story of David and Bathsheba. It wasn't a sin that David had seen Bathsheba bathing. He could have turned away. He could have turned away and walked away from that. But the sin came when he seized upon that opportunity. The sight didn't have to cause David to sin. He did it because that was his own choice. It was based upon his lust and upon his desire. And he was enticed to take action on that. We know that in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 1, Jesus himself was tempted. If you look at Matthew 4 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And yet we know when we read about Jesus and the temptations that Satan threw at him there, that Jesus overcame these temptations without sin. He didn't sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So he didn't sin. Also, Hebrews 2 and verse 18. Hebrews 2 and verse 18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." So we know that Christ was tempted, and yet he did not sin. All the temptations that Satan threw at him, all the things that Jesus went through while he was on earth, you read that he did, and he went through all these things, and yet he remained without sin. So we can conclude from this that temptation itself is not sin. We can overcome it without sin. We need to understand that the very reason Christ was able to overcome this stuff without sin is based upon his desire. He came with a certain desire. He came to serve the Father. His desire to serve God was much greater than his desire to please the flesh. Flip over to John chapter 4. That was the focus of Jesus while he was on earth. He desired more than anything else to please God. He understood that he had a purpose while he was here, and so he desired to fulfill that purpose. Look at John chapter 4, verse 33. It says, "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" So we see Jesus' mindset, or his desire. His mindset was, come what may, whatever may come, I'm here for a specific purpose. I have a desire. I'm going to fulfill that desire. Also, John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Again, when we read about Christ and we read about all that he did, he fulfilled his desire. He fulfilled the purpose and the desire, the reason that he was here, and that was to do God's will. And so when we talk about in our own lives how we need to resist sin, how we need to resist temptation that leads to sin, we need to understand that in our lives we're going to have certain desires. And our drive is going to be to try to fulfill those true desires. So we need to understand what our true desire is, because that's what we're going to seek to fulfill. We're going to seek after that. And so in the way that we choose to live, we need to be very careful what our true desire is. Our actions, the things that we do, the things that we say are going to tell us what our desires are. So before we close this evening, I'd like to look at three keys in overcoming this sin that comes from temptation and desire. Number one, our desires need to be to serve God and Him only. And that's really the key in all of this and overcoming sin. Flip to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Galatians 5 and 24. It says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Again, if we are really and truly doing the will of Christ, if that is our desire to do God's will, then we're going to put to death these fleshly desires. If we put to death our desires of the flesh, of the world, we're seeking, as Christ sought, to do the will of God. That's our desire. One of the ways that we do this is by filling our minds with God's Word, realizing that His commands are for our benefit. Look over to Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." In other words, when the word of God is in our hearts, when pleasing Him is our number one desire, we have a much stronger ability, a much stronger capability, if you will, to overcome sin and to overcome the temptations that may come our way. We see back in Matthew chapter 4 that in each case where Jesus was tempted there by Satan, you see how Jesus kind of staved off Satan, the way that He was able to answer any temptation that Satan was to throw at Him. How did he deal with Satan? It was through Scripture. Let's read Matthew 4, verses 3 through 10. Notice the answers that He gives as Satan there tries to tempt Him. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But He answered him and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Notice again how Jesus answers him here. "Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' And again the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, 'All of these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship Me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" So again, when we talk about temptation, I think it's a vital part. It's very necessary that we have a good working knowledge of God's Word. Just as Jesus was able to defend Himself with Scripture, we need to be prepared to do that as well. We need to have a good working knowledge of what God's Word says. It helps us understand what sin is. It helps us understand those situations that can cause sin. It helps us understand the consequences of sin. And it all comes through understanding and having a good working knowledge of what God's Word says. Flip back to Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119, verse 104. 119, 104. It says, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Again, it helps us recognize what sin is. It helps us to desire that opposes sin when we recognize what God's Word says. So number one, in overcoming sin, we use the Word of God to help us change our desire. Number two, we need to avoid situations and opportunities that would cause us to sin. Look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. It says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. So we need to avoid these situations, avoid these people. Obviously, if someone has a problem with alcohol, what do they need to stay away from? Those places, those people that would encourage them to use alcohol. And you could plug in any example that you want to plug in. But in any situation that would entice us to sin or would stir up our fleshly lusts or desires, those situations we need to look out for and we need to avoid. And again, it goes back to having a working knowledge of God's Word, able to understand those situations. And we also need to avoid the company of those people that would encourage us to sin. We give that advice to our children. I know as my boys are growing up through school, we tell them over and over, especially Will, be careful who you run around with. Be careful who your friends are. But as adults, do we heed that same advice? The influence that people can have on us is pretty great, especially when we're not as strong maybe as we should be in God's Word. Whether we're strong in God's Word or not, we need to avoid those people that would encourage us to sin. Maybe they don't do it intentionally. Maybe the people we hang around don't get us to sin intentionally, but either way, we need to watch out who we hang around. It's something that David realized in Psalm 101, verses 6 and 7. He says, "My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence." Something Paul also warned of in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So we need to be aware of the impact that sinful associations, that evil associations can have on us. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, Paul there realized the impact that one sinful person could have upon the entire church. Now look at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. It says, "Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" So in our lives and in our relationships, we need a purpose to associate with those people that would encourage us to grow and that would encourage us to live godly lives. Stay away from those people that would have us drawn away from God. Again, simple advice, but I think it has huge impact when we talk about ways that we can avoid sin. And finally, number three, as Christians, we need to exercise self-control. Look back to Galatians chapter 5. Again, we looked at these this morning. In verses 22 and 23, it tells us there the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 23, one of those that it mentions there in verse 23, gentleness and self-control. This is something, if we're going to avoid sin, if we're going to avoid temptation, is absolutely vital. And when we allow God's Word to change us, this is one of the results that we're able to exercise self-control. That we no longer seek to please the flesh. We have a higher desire, if you will, to serve God. And therefore we're able to exercise this self-control. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And it talks about here about this spiritual death. When we continue to live according to the flesh, we don't have control of our desires. Self-control is something that we need to understand, something we need to exercise. Letting the Word of God lead our lives. We're going to find ourselves in situations, it doesn't matter who we try to avoid or what we try to avoid, there's going to be situations when we go out into the world. We're going to find ourselves in situations that would entice us to sin, that would appeal to our fleshly desires. But again, exercising self-control, relying on our knowledge of God's Word can help us overcome these things. That's the lesson for this evening. Do we desire God, or do we desire to please ourselves? And ask you this evening, what is your desire? Do you desire to serve God? If you do have that desire, but you're not currently doing so, you have a chance to make that right tonight. To come forward and be added to His church. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friends like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from
overlooking one. Likewise, Father, we ask that you please bless this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood shed upon the cross by your Son Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, the local members of the congregation have an opportunity to lay by in store. Are there any that wish to do so?
Reflecting that glorious heavenly sunlight that flows from you above. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we depart this evening. Watch over those of us who are traveling. Keep us safe. For this congregation, Father, we pray your richest blessing upon them. Help them in their endeavors to spread the gospel here in this community. We pray, Father, that the efforts here will be fruitful and that the lost souls who are in this area will come to you. Father, forgive us when we sin against you. Help us to have a tender and humble heart before you when we do sin against you, that we will bow the knee. Come repenting. And then ask you for forgiveness. We know, Father, that you are just and faithful to forgive if we but ask. Father, we ask you your richest blessing to be upon Donnie and his family. Help him as he preaches the word here in this area. Help all the men who preach the word in this area. May your words, Father, reach those who are lost and dying. Father, we ask all these things in your Son's dear name. Amen. Amen.
No.